Okay, good afternoon. We thank our sponsor for this month's learning, Dr. Moshe and Brian D. Ben-Rosh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov, Kabbal Ben Yechiel, Tzvi HaKohen. This learning and all the learning we've done this month is Lili Nishmas. So this week's learning is sponsored by my good friends Yitzi and Terry Karasik, and it's sponsored in honor of me, so I appreciate the honor. And today's learning is sponsored by another good friend, Dr. Barry Habib, and it is Lili Nishmas, his father, Binyamin Ben Sion. So we have the neshamas in mind when we learn, and also my kavod. Okay, so I wanted to today, b'siyat Hashmaya b'li neder, to discuss a couple of unrelated pieces in Ramban, and not trying to connect them, just three isolated Rambans, just make a ha'ara to mostly just give over the Ramban, as they are yesodistic. So if you look in the first section, I guess, in the first section here, the first source number one is the pasuk here in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk tells us, Ki sikna eved ivri, sheishanim yavod, uvashviyas yetze lachav shichinam. So the eved ivri has a six-year, it's not as simple as what I'm about to say, he has a six-year term. Not as pasuk as that. Maybe he has a term for eternity, but then there's a mafkia in the seventh year. That he there's a heter in the seventh year that undoes the chiyuv. What the nafkaminas are is questionable, but there might be nafkaminas. There are diukim and Rashi in kedushin, and also the pasuk doesn't read straight otherwise. Ki sikna evet ivri sheishanim sheisham yavod. Sorry, uvashviyas yetei lechav shichinam. You could have just said sheishanim yavod, and then he goes free. Uvashviyas sounds like there's a hafka that the seventh year is mafkia the shibud. Okay, so he works for 6 years, he goes free in the seventh year. In begapo yavod begapo yetei in bali shahu v'yatsa ishto imo. So if he's unmarried, if he goes in as a bachelor, so he leaves also by himself. If he goes in married, so then v'yatsa ishto imo. Yeah. So what does that mean, yatsa ishto imo? So Rashi has a question. He was the slave, not his wife. So what does that mean? Who brought in this woman that she's in servitude, that now she has to be released? She wasn't the slave. He was. What the pasuk is trying to tell us, what you see here is a chiyuv on the adon, that when the adon takes in an eved ivri, he also has a chiyuv to feed and to take care of the wife of the eved ivri, ubanav. We'll see in the Ramban, just to say it now, because it's not part of the ikar part of what we're talking about. Banav isn't limited to male children. Banav means b'nei beso, meaning his wife, as was said, and then his sons and his daughters. Okay, all the children, all the b'nei beso hasomchin al shulchano, the adon has to now take care of. So when he takes on this eved ivri, he also has to take on the requirement of taking care of his wife and children. So what I just said is a questionable statement. The requirement of taking care of his children? Is there such a requirement? So look at the Ramban. This is what the Ramban discusses. It's very fascinating. V'lonis bar eli, I don't understand, b'din hazeh, in ma'isi yedeh isha v'abanim la'adon, kol ayam mashar yizon osam. That's what he wants to figure out, is the ma'isi yedeha of the isha. This is not the part that we're really going to talk about. The ma'isi yedeha, yedeh hamash, say, of the isha and of the banim, does the adon get to reap the rewards of their work whenever they're working under him, or not, as long as he's sustaining them? Okay, that part's not as important for us. V'hanira be'enai. Shehu nichnas b'makom abal. This adon is stepping in. He's assuming the role of the husband, of the father. Ki chamla haTorah al haisha. The Torah had rachmanis, had mercy on the wife, v'habanim, on the children. Shechayehem tluyim lahen mineged mitzapim lidei habal. Their lives depend on him, and they stand there waiting, hoping that the Baal will take care of them, and the Baal was just taken as a slave. Yata shnimkar ye avdu bitzarasam. Now that the Baal, the father, the husband, was taken as a slave, they're going to be lost. They're going to be in distress. They're not going to be able to provide for them. V'lachin tziva esa adon asher hu lokeach ma'asi yadav lios lahem imkoma. So now the Torah says, okay, you, the adon, who's taking over the role of the father, and who is assuming the responsibilities of the father, and also reaping the rewards of the father's work, all of his ma'asi yadayim, so you should now be responsible to take care of his wife and his children, all the chiyuvim which the father had until now, the adon takes over. So what's the kasha? So Ramban doesn't, Kedarko, he doesn't ask it as a kasha, but he makes it clear this is what he's bothered by. If you look in the second paragraph, V'chol zeh is chemla meis Hashem, aleihem v'ala eved, shol yamas v'tzaro, b'hios amalo v'beis nachri, ubana v'ishto yu nezavim. This is all out of rachmanas, out of mercy, that we shouldn't let the family be thrown away, be left out to fend for themselves and not be able to provide for themselves. The Torah had rachmanas on the family. V'afal pishlo hayahu mechuyav b'mezonosam midin ha-Torah. Be'emes, the father himself, when he was the father, when he was the husband, he wasn't chayiv in mezonos, midaraisa. The Ramban is making an assumption, l'shitaso, from a Ramban earlier in the parsha. I put it in the footnote here. Chaf al tes, where the Ramban assumes that mezonos is not daraisa. The shita that Rashi quotes, that mezonos is daraisa, she'erak susav onasa, that mezonos is daraisa, the Ramban assumes is a das yachid, There are other shittas here. There's a Rambam. There's other shittas here. But the Ramban assumes that it's derabanan. And here's being he's lishitaso. He wasn't mechuyev in mizonos midin Torah, the Baal, the father. He wasn't mechuyev to provide for his children, for his wife, while they're in the house. Ukmodin is bar b'talmud kesubis. Aval kevan shederech kol ha'aretz lefarnes adam ishto uvanav haktanim. Since the normal way of the world, the way that things go, the human morality and the human way is that the husband takes care of the wife, the father takes care of the children, because that's the norm, that's what's expected. Tziva hakel barachamav, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his rachmanis was mitzvah, commanded lios hakone keav rachman lahem, that the one who acquired this eved, the adon, should be like a father who is merciful and who takes care of the wife and the children. It's true that the father and the husband, and in his role as father and husband, did not have a chiyuv daraisa to take care of the children or the wife. But ironically, now the adon who takes his place has the chiyuv, and that chiyuv is on a daraisa level. It's such an unbelievable thing you see in the Ramban here, which is that basically we're saying that the adon is filling the role of the baal. He's taking over the baal, and therefore he's chayiv in mezonos for ishto ubnei beiso. But the Baal, the father himself, he didn't have that chiyuv daraisa. But says the Torah, that's true. But we'll use a term that we'll see soon. Yard the Torah, the sof daitam shel b'nei adam. The way of the world is that who takes care of a wife and kids? The father takes care of the wife and kids. The husband takes care of the family. So even though the Torah wasn't mechayiv him on a daraisa level to take care of his family, we know that's how the world works. Which means we know that if this guy goes into slavery, if he goes into servitude, he's not going to have anyone to take care of his children. So the Torah says, you, the Adon, who is the one taking this guy out of his house and making this family, Nebuch, not have a way to provide for themselves, you have to take that role on a level of Daraisa. It's a mitzvah Daraisa now. It's a chi of Daraisa. It's a chi of Daraisa on this person to take care of the family. He replaces and even supersedes in that way the role of the father and the husband. And the Yisod that comes out of this Ramban, amazing, is that there really are obligations, there are chiyuvim that exists on two levels, or of two different varieties. There are legal obligations, things that are formal, formulated, rigid, delineated in the psukim, in Chazal, legal obligations that the Torah binds us by. There are also moral obligations. Now, this is not an argument for morality outside of Torah. That's not the point. It's a Torah morality. But it's not a Torah morality that was formulated as a legal code. It's not that the Torah said, do this, don't do that. The Torah didn't tell a father to take care of his children. The Torah didn't tell the husband to take care of his wife, according to the Ramban. Other Rishonim disagree and think the halacha is the Torah said that. But according to the Ramban, that was not stated by the Torah. But there is a moral obligation for a person to take care of his family. That is a moral obligation that a father will always fill, should always fill. And if he doesn't, there has to be someone who steps in to do it. So the Torah didn't command the father, didn't command the husband. But when the Adon takes that father, that husband, out of the home, even though the original person didn't have the obligation, the Torah relied on the assumption that the father, the husband, is going to recognize that clear, obvious, natural moral obligation. They didn't feel the need to formalize it in his case, but now the Torah formalizes it and says, for the Adon, he has to take on that role of being the father, the man of the house, to provide for the wife and the children. We find this Yisod, this Rav Tversky Shlita pointed out when we learned Kiddushin. So we do find this Yisod in the Rishonim on the Daf, in Kiddushin, on Daf Dal and Amnaf. The Gemara there has a back and forth about this, Taka, about Maisi Adayim, the Gemara on Daf Dal and Amnaf. At that stage it says, V'iyash mi'ina Maisi Adeha, that's the part that the Rit is coming off of. If you're going to teach me that there's Maisi Adayim, dekam mitzaminei, it makes sense that there's Maisi Adeha to her father, dekam mitzaminei, because he's the one who benefits. She's the one who benefits from him, so he gets to reap the rewards of her work. Avav kidusheha de me'alma ka'asi lo, de me'alma ka'asi la, ema dida havu. Tzuricha, you need to learn both, because maybe kiddushin is, it comes from out of the blue. It's not something she works for, and therefore he gains, so he doesn't provide for it, and it's not quid pro quo, so to speak. So you have a tzurichasa to teach that. Rashi explains, on the daf there, Rashi explains that when the father provides mizonos, he's anticipating, he's assuming that he is going to get the ma'isi adayim in return. Daite al ma'isi adayah deshchicha. The assumption that this is a deal that we have, that you're going to provide ma'isi adayim, I'm going to feed you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so we have this deal back and forth that you're going to provide and I'm going to provide between the father and the father and the daughter. That's what the Gemara here is saying according to Rashi. The Ritva asks just a very important question. We'll read it for a second. The bold Tmiya Milsa Hichi Efsher Lomer the Ma'isi Adeh Tachas Mizonos. There is no chiv for the father to provide mizonos for his daughter until age six. There's a debate here in terms of what age it should go to, but let's just say for now until age six. So there is a chiv to take care of the children, but at the time that we're talking about, so there's no chiv for the father to take care of the daughter. So what are we talking about over here about mizonos and ma'isi adeh? Tmiya milsa hechi efshar lomer the ma'isi adeh tachas mizonos. Ha'im lo ratzel lazuna harishus biyado va'afilu hachi ha'adav hashala. Doesn't add up. The ikal amem the hachi ka'aminan derachmana zachi la'aviyah. This is what it means. The Torah was mezaka the father ma'isi adeh mishum shiyar the Torah lasof daita and shelbrios. The reason why the Torah gives the right to the father to reap the rewards of the ma'isi adayim of the daughter is why? Yard the Torah, lesof daita and shel brios. Because the Torah looked and see what's the natural way that people act. What is the way that people behave as human, moral human beings? Derech ha'av lazan esbita o mistama. The normal way. The assumption is that a father is going to take care of his daughter. It's true. There's no chiv d'oraisa that's written down, black on white. Rachel bitcha katana. No pun intended. So there's no Rachel bitcha katana that you have to now take care of Rachel bitcha katana. That's not written anywhere in the Torah, that's true. But it's obvious, it's assumed that the father's going to take care of his daughter. Working with that assumption, the Torah then sends back the Ma'isi Adeha to the father. That's exactly what the Ramban was telling us, how the Torah as well, the Chachmei Sfarad as a whole, are saying it, that there are two levels of obligation. Again, not an outside morality, a Torah morality, but a Torah morality doesn't always have to be formulated in rigid, specific text, black on white rules. Sometimes the Torah will tell it to us in such a way that it's just assumed, it's obvious that you're going to take care of what you're supposed to take care of, that yard the Torah, so if da shel brios, that the father will take care of the daughter, that the husband will take care of the wives. And that's why, in this case, the father gets the kickback, and in the case the Ramban is talking about Al Torah, that's why the Adon of the slave has to take care of the children who are now left to fend for themselves when their father goes into slavery. If you look at the second section here, source number three, the pasuk in our parsha a little bit later, same parak, Make ish vames mos yumas. So we have to read the flow of psukim here. We skipped a small part, but a person who hits another person vames and he kills him, mos yumas. What me says mos yumas? Chenek. Okay. Make ove v'ima mos yumas. Someone hits their parents, even if they don't die, right? Maka abev imo, there's no vames. Mos yumas means chenek always. Okay, but here there's a trick. Here there's another pasuk which says, I don't know, dam of bam or something, dam of bam, I forget the singular and plural. We'll see it in Sanhedrin soonish. So here we assume that maka abev imo, mos yumas, actually for hitting a parent, you get skila, not chenek. The gonev ish, kidnapping, umecharo, and then sold, nivinimta biyado, mos yumas, also killed. Umekalal avivimo, mos yumas, and also someone who, Rahman Salam, curses their parent, such any of these different acts of rishus, will incur a death penalty. Sorry, I said it wrong. Maka avivimo is misa bechenek. Did I say this the wrong way before? Maka avivimo is bechenek. It's mekalal avivimo that's going to be skila. We'll see in a second. I think I said it before on Maka Avimo. Maka Avimo, if you hit your father or your mother, you're chayv chenek. If you curse klala to your parents, you are chayv skila. So the Ramban here deals with that exact difference. Makav v'imo mos yumas. The Ramban says kvar lim duchacham shem misaso bechenek. Right by Makav by Haka. Ulekach samach lo v'gonev ish umacharo. So this is important. The Mefarshim all struggle with the Hemshech HaPsukim over here. What's the flow of things over here that first, again, the order goes, Maki Ish Vamesa Stam Haka, then hitting a parent, then kidnapping. Why is kidnapping in between the fact that you hit your parents and you curse your parents? Those should be closer together. So the Mefarshim all struggle to try to figure out Pshat in this. Maybe we'll have time to say Pshat in some of them, maybe not. But the Ramban says that we see that the Maka is Bechenek, and that's why it's close to Gonev. Shegam hu ba'osamisa. The hifrish menu makal of the imo, that was separated and by a middle category, a middle case, mipnei shubiskila. Shnemar bo, aviv imo kila, dam of bo. There you go, dam of bo. Vichomi shnemar bo, kalashan azeh, hubiskila. Yeah. Nil mashikazes of the evin, you're going to find. The hichmir, so the question that Ramban now wants to talk about is, I don't understand. Mak of the imo is bechenek. Makal of the imo is biskila. Even without making any assumptions, just simply, you could ask the question without being a bam kasha, just be a simple question to probe, to try to figure out, why does Mekal of Imo get a much more chamer misa, a more chamer misa, than Maka of Imo? Why are you getting skila for the klala, and you're only getting chenek for hitting? What's the distinction? What's the difference between the two averas? So the Ramban gives two answers here. If I was presenting it, I would go in the other order, but I'm going to read the Ramban inside, so we're going to go in the order that he wrote it. But he gives two possibilities. So listen closely to the possibilities. We'll try to understand them, and then we'll try to see what he might be bavorning, what he might be, I guess, clearing over here. V'hichmir b'misas ha-mekal yoser mi-misas ha-makeh. The Torah was more machmir, was more stringent, more severe in terms of the punishment when it comes to mekal of v'imo than it was by makeh of v'imo. Why? First answer. Mipnei shechet ha-klala matzui yoser. Because this Avera, this sin of cursing parents, of klala, is much more matzli, it's commonplace. It's much more frequently violated than is haka'a. Sha'aksil kasha yichos v'hiskatzif v'kilel b'malko v'aviv imo tamid kol hayom. So a person, when he's angry, when he's upset, what's the first thing he does? He verbally abuses the other person. He curses. He's makala them. It takes a lot more. It takes a lot more for a person to raise their hand and hit a parent, hit anyone, but even to hit a parent, it takes a lot more to make them do such a thing. But if they're upset at the parent and they're really feeling angry, so it's a lot easier for them, they're a lot quicker to be makalo, to curse out the parent. So because of that, it's much more common that such an aver will happen, and therefore the misa has to be much more severe, much more chamer. Okay, come back to that in a second. Then the Ramban says, the fact that it's so common means that it needs a bigger punishment. That's what we just said in English. Okay, second opinion. Oh, what are they arguing about? Start thinking. Oh, so says the Ramban, the other possibility, we would have jumped to something like this. No, this would have been our first attempt to answer the question. Says the Ramban, no, there's really a chamiris, there's a severity to cursing one's parents, to klala, because when a person is makal of the imo, they employ the Shem Hashem. They use the Shem Hashem to say that curse. And so using the Shem Hashem, dragging the Shem Hashem through the mud, is, we know from the Psukim, is the biggest Chil Hashem literal sense that you could imagine. So that's a much more heavy, much more weighty avera. So to be mekalel of the imo with a shem Hashem is terrible. It's so chamer. So it's not enough to give him chenek. He's got to get skila. It's a more chamer avera, so it gets a more chamer punishment. So just in terms of that assumption, so if you flip the page, source number 4, but unfortunately the numbers on page 1 and the sources on page 2, which will literally take away sleep from me tonight, but I forgot. So the Maharal and Guru Aryeh, he just talks about the order of the psukim over here, and he explains that these isurim are lined up one after the other, lomar al chashivas adam shleiy kalba enav, to show the significance, the importance of each person, of each human that we deal with. Shetimatze elu achumros, that you'll find these stringencies. Meaning, it makes sense to me that if you kill someone, you should be punished chayiv misa. You killed someone, you ended a life, okay. But says the Torah, and not only killing, but make of the imo even without killing, even a chabura, even just causing a wound, that's enough to deserve the penalty. Says the Torah, and what's more, even if you don't hit and you don't kill, but you just kidnap, you just take the person away from their environment, that's also worthy of the death penalty. And says the Pasuk, the least of all those things, to be mekalel b'dibur b'levad, just to curse someone, not to lay a finger on them, not to abduct them, not to do anything physical at all, you're also going to be chayav misa. So the Maharal says the Torah is going in order and saying, not lo zo av zo, not just if you kill, not just if you hit, not just if you kidnap, even if you curse, which is lichor the least of all of those actions, that's also worthy of punishment. Now it's not for sure against the Ramban, but you see the way the Maharal is looking at the Psukim, and you see others who do this as well, some of the Pashtanim from the Rishonim, who basically explain the order of the Psukim is going from most chamer to least chamer, most obviously death penalty to least obviously death penalty. The Ramban, in his second daya, is assuming that klala is more chamer, is more severe than haka'a, and because that's because you're dragging the Shem Hashem down into this Chil Hashem of cursing. There are two other ways to defend what the Ramban thinks, that the klala of Aviv V'Imo is more chamer than the haka. One is what you see here in the Chizkuni in source number 5, which he explains that there's a hekesh, we know from the Gemara in Kiddush and Daf Lamed, there's a hekesh between parents and the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the Gemara brings this in the context of klala, of Birchas Hashem, is hukash, is connected to kilas Aviv V'Imo. There's a connection between the two of those. And, you know, we know Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam. There are three partners in making a person, mother, father, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, if a person curses their parents, in a way, it shmecks of a curse of a Birchas Hashem. It shmecks of a klala against Ribbono Shel Olam Rachmanu Litzlan. So, because there's such a connection between the two of them, so the klala of Aviv V'Imo is much more chamer than a haka'a. Because hitting, the Gemara already says this, hitting, you can't make a tzushdal between hitting a father and mother to hitting Hashem. There's no hitting Hashem. It's not possible to hit Hashem. A person could be mevarech, right? Lashon Saginar. A person could be mevarech, but he can't be makeh Hashem. So there's no connection between the two on the plane of hitting. So hitting is chenek. It's chiyav misa. It's terrible, but it's chenek. But klala, which is on a level similar to daimeh, to actually curse and kaddish baruch hu, as it were, so that's going to be a more chamer de gavira. That's going to be chayiv skila, which is more than chenek. That's how the Chizkuni says. The Panim Yafos has yet another possibility in source number 6, which is very, very fascinating and worth exploring more in depth another time. But the Panim Yafos basically says like this. On one level, you understand that a physical abuse is more painful and more aggressive. That's true. But on another level, a person can cause much more harm with something even less physical. Even less physical. And he flips the pasuk differently than Maharal. He goes in the opposite direction. He says, you hit someone, you kill them, that's taking away their life, it's a terrible thing. But if you hit them and they have to live with the pain, that's a step worse. And if you kidnap someone and take them out of their environment and the damage you're going to cause, irreparable damage for the rest of their lives, that they were going to be scarred and changed and taken out of their home, their shelter, they're unprotected, you remove them from their environment, that's an even worse type of damage. And klala, that's just a total lack of kavod and a total lack of attributing any significance whatsoever to a person's existence, to a person's being, to a person's honor, to a person's just the fact that he's a person. And because of that, it really goes in levels of chamiris in the other direction. Hitting is relating to the person, but causing him damage. All the way down to klala, where at the point of klala, you're basically saying, this person is a meaningless nothing. I'm willing to curse him. I'm willing to destroy his personality, destroy his psyche. So that, in some ways, is even more chamer. So you have three possibilities. The Ramban himself says it's about using Shem Hashem. The Chizkuni says it's because cursing your parents is dome in a way to Birchas Hashem. And the Panim Yafos, who explains that it's because there's on a level, the psychological damage and the metaphysical damage is much worse when it comes to klala than even killing, hitting, or kidnapping at all. Okay, so that's the Ramban's daya, that hitting is less severe than cursing parents, and therefore the punishment for hitting is less severe than cursing parents, chenek versus skila. But the first day in the Ramban was not that way, right? The first day in the Ramban was that the reason why you get a more chamdika punishment of skila for klala is because it's matzoi tadir, it's matzoi yoser, it's more commonplace, more frequent that avera of klala, of cursing out parents, occurs more than hitting parents. Okay, so we understand that sociologically that makes sense. People would more readily say something not nice than they would hit someone. But what's the Ramban driving at? What's the Ramban, like, what's the argument between the two deos? So I once thought, it's not true, what I'm about to say is not true in a global sense, meaning what I'm about to say isn't true in Kol HaTorah Kula. I think it's true in this Ramban, right here in this Ramban. What the Ramban is struggling with potentially is the following. What is the pshat in onshin in general? Why does the Torah give onshin? Why does the Torah punish people who do averos? So they're up to four, or maybe more, depending on how thinly you slice it, 4 to 6 possibilities as to why someone punished someone else. Retribution, right? Vengeance, getting back at someone, or punitive, let's say, for Torah purposes, because not really vengeance, but, you know, punitive measures, a deterrent, preventative measures, which is similar to the term, but could be different depending, again, how thinly you slice it. Kapara, atonement, right? There are many reasons that we could think of that we would try to punish people. So what's the Torah's motivation for punishment? So again, if you look through Kol Torah Kuli, you'll find all the motivations, because you have the idea of kapara in the Torah for death, and you have the idea of, we're going to learn of Laman Yiru V'Yishmo, that Klal Yisrael should see something and then be deterred or prevented from doing it in the future. But maybe the Ramban is wondering, in these instances, what's the reason or what's the pshat in Onesh in these cases? Is the pshat that the Onesh is punitive? It's a retribution. It's punishing tit for tat. You get, you know, the punishment fits the crime. And because of that, the Ramban says that the more chamer the Avera is, the more chamer the punishment has to be. The more chamer the punishment has to be. If it was cursing, so cursing is using Shem Hashem, it's terrible. So that's skila. Hitting is also bad, but it's not as bad, so it's going to be chenek. Right? The punishment goes up as the crime, the severity of the crime itself goes up. But in the first day, the Ramban says, no. The reason for punishment is not, at least in this case, is not specifically or predominantly or prominently based on the fact that you did a chamer avon, you have to be paid back for it, so to speak. It's not punishment fits crime. What is it? It's a deterrent. It's a deterrent. So says the Ramban, what's the determining factor? How common is this avera? How often does this avera happen? If it's something that happens once in a blue moon, who hits their parents? You have to be crazy to hit your parents. So the punishment doesn't have to be so strong. Why? You don't need such a strong deterrent. People anyways are not really going to hit their parents. But klala, people would do that. It happens all the time that people are mekalal of avivimo. So the Torah has to put into place a very strong deterrent. Not just chenek. The Torah has to give a much more chamer misa of skila to avoid, to keep people away, to deter people from going ahead and being mekalal their parents, because otherwise it happens so commonly that it would just it would become regular in society for people to go around cursing their parents. The Torah implemented a much more chamedic onesh in order to deter people from being mekalal aviv v'imo. So these two deos in the Ramban, maybe in this case, are struggling with that question in terms of being magder, in terms of understanding what an onesh is. Is the onesh primarily about meeting out a punishment that's exactly commensurate with the crime, or is it about deterring people from doing so? And the nafkamina is, well, how do we judge which one should be more chamer, or which one should get the more chamer punishment? Now, the following is really just the beginning of something, but it's not, I don't have anything full to say about it, and we're not going to get to the third Ramban, because we'll stop after this. But if you look in source number 7, you have the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. Now, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim is really, really fascinating. This, the source I gave you, and another place. The source I gave you is the Rambam. It's like a few paragraphs into Parak Mem Aleph, where the Rambam basically has a systematic, extremely organized structure of onshin, and he goes through really klalim of which types of averas deserve which types of onshin, and he goes through pratim of which averas deserve which types of onshin, and you find a lot of interesting, in between the lines here, a lot of interesting assumptions and ideas about the different mitzvos and their punishments. But the way the Rambam starts this parak, I'm going to read you a line that's not on the sheet first. Ha-mitzvos ha-kulos b'kfutza ha-shishis, hina onshin. Sixth type of grouping, onshin, punishments. To'altam, what's the benefit, what's the reason that we have punishments? Be'ofen klali is yadua. The general reason that we have punishments, it's yadua, it's well known. V'his karnua, we already talked about it. Okay, so what is the reason? So you have to go back. And chelek gimel, same chelek, and perek lam hey, here's the line the Rambam says, very brief, and just listen to the words. Hakvutza shishis is onshin. Hato'eles shelze, the reason for and the benefit of onshin. Hato'eles shelze berura. It's extremely clear. If violators will not be punished, if offenders are not given a punishment for their crime, lo yesulak shum nezek klal, we will never be able to remove damages from society. V'lo yiraseya, people will not be fearful. Mi shemiskavein lav or avera, no one will tremble before committing an avera. Meaning what? The point of onshin. It sounds from this line in the Rambam, if we were just looking at it on its own, the whole reason for onshin, he doesn't give us any other reasons here in the Perek Lamed Hay. The whole reason for onshin is to deter other people from violating averos. He says it black on white there. In the piece that I gave you in Perek Mem Aleph, again, da, shekol shemina shel apshia matzo yoser. The more often, remember this idea, the more often, the more common, the more frequent the avera is, v'kal yoser libitua, it's more likely that it's going to be violated, chayiv ha'onesh alav lios chamer yoser kedei lemono. The more commonplace the avera is, the more you have to provide a stronger punishment. Why? Black on white. Kedei lemono. To prevent, to deter people from doing the adiros. If it's only going to happen anyways once in a long while, so you don't need such a strong deterrent. No one does it anyways. Who's going to hit their parents? So the onish could be chenek. But kill us aviv imo, which people are going to do, it's tadir, it's matsui, it's commonplace, it's frequent in society, that needs skila. That needs a very chametik onish. Why? Because the whole idea of onshin, says the Rambam, is minia, is to deter, is to prevent other people from violating these isurim. The Rambam continues, Dash Egodal Onish Vechumras Hakabaso, O Katnuso, the way we determine the level, the magnitude of the punishment, Vakalis, Lasesozo, Hembez, Chashe Barbadvarm. There are four factors. We'll zoom through them, but I want to make one important point. Harishon is Chumras Hapesha. The first factor in determining how serious an Averish should be punished, how seriously we should take it, and therefore how serious the Torah's punishment for it is Chumras Hapesha, is how severe the actual Avera was. Hold that thought. Hasheni is tediris hayirua, what we spoke on until now, the frequency of the violation of this aveira, ki yesh lemnoa, right? Ba'onesh chamar, again, lemnoa, ve'ilu onesh kal yaspe kedei lemnoa, etc. Hashlishi, hu chumras ha'hispatus ledavar, the severity of the temptation of the aveira. Arayos are very tempting, because they're very tempting, they need more chamar, deterrent to keep people away from them. If it was a very, very tempting avera and the punishment was a slap on the wrist, so everyone would say, it's worth it. It's worth it. I'll take the avera and I'll take the slap on the wrist. Okay. And the last one, Haravi, who hakalus lebatzeya samaisa azeb hei chavav uveseser. How easily can you do this avera in private? Amazing. How easily can you do this avera in private without anyone seeing? The more private the avera could be, the more chamer the punishment has to be to deter people from doing it. Why? Otherwise, they'll just say, no one's going to know. It's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one's going to find out, so they'll do it again and again. So going backwards, the last one is certainly about deterrent, right? The more easy it is to hide, the more likely I am to violate it, unless I have a very strong deterrent pushing me away from it. The shlishi also, the more desirable the avera is, the more I need a more chamer avera. Why? Not because the avera is so bad and therefore needs to be punished at a higher level, but because I'm more likely to be ensnared by the taiva. So I need a stronger deterrent. The second one, tediris ha'irua, we already explained a few times. The more common it is, the more likely it is that you're going to be violating it. You need a stronger deterrent to keep society away from it. What about the first reason the Rambam gave? Harishon chumras ha'pesha. The severity of the avera is also taken into account. So the Rambam has done nothing to give us any other clues as to why you would need an onish other than mania. He says it no less than five times that the whole point of onshin is deterrent. He doesn't really clue us into any other reason. And yet here he has the factor of chumras ha'pesha, the severity of the avera. And that's a factor in how severe the onesh should be. So how does that work? So one possibility is that we're not reading this correctly. We're missing some clues here. And the Rambam really thinks there's multiple reasons for punishments. And he's not as focused on maniyah as we would have thought. It's hard to imagine. I mean, it's really clear, really black and white. The only thing he mentions is the idea of deterrent. If you look in the, Rav Tversky showed me, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchus Ritzayach, Perek Dalid, Halacha Ches and Tes, you see a mashmalus that the Rambam has such a thing as onshin because of how chamer the Aver is, by Ritzicha. Maybe Ritzicha is exceptional. Ritzicha is, the Rambam is going to say in Mora here also, Ritzicha is the worst Aver anyone could possibly do in the whole world. But within our Dalid Amos of Chelek Shlishi, Perek Mem Aleph, and even in Perek Lamed Hei from before, I don't know. It's hard to understand why there's anything other than a deterrent and why the chumras ha'pesha would be a factor. Unless you say the following. If the avera is very chamer, so then you need more chamer punishment. Why? So, like the Rambam, we understand. Because the more chamer the avera, the more chamer the punishment. Because punishment, according to that daya, is about paying back. And you're not paying him back unless it's a serious punishment for a serious avera. The punishment has to fit the crime. But is it also true that the more chamer the avera, the more chamer the avera, usually the more passionate the person is about it, the more committed the person is to the avera, the more serious he is about the avera, the more obviously, you know, ambitious he is in terms of the doing what he plans to do. So if the most chamer avera, let's say ritzicha is the most chamer avera, and the punishment for ritzicha is that if you kill someone, we're going to smack you across the face really hard. So not because it doesn't match, not because it's uneven, that's one problem. But even if you don't care about it being even, is it really going to deter ritzicha? Ritzicha is horrible. We need to do whatever we can to make sure it doesn't happen, because objectively it's bad for the world, it's bad for people, bad for society, bad for the upper world. It's a terrible, terrible avera. It's the worst avera in the world. We have to make sure it doesn't happen. Regardless of whether the punishment matches the crime or not, it makes sense as a deterrent that the deterrent has to be stronger. Why? Because we need to ensure this avera doesn't happen. Not because, since it's such a chamer avera, the guy has to be paid back equally, but because once we know that we want to make sure this avera never happens, because it's so chamer, it's so serious, like ritzichas, that's a terrible avera, the deterrent has to be so strong that it ensures that people will be wary and people will avoid doing the avera. So maybe even, again, I'm not sure about this, maybe even in the construct of the Rambam, in this system where he only really has this concept of mania, of being moneh, of deterring people through punishment, maybe even there, the chumras ha-pesha can also be a factor, and it's not a kasha on him that he includes that as one of his four factors. Either way, the Ramban seems to be struggling with this idea. We spoke about how you could defend klala being more chamer in three different ways. We spoke about the other side, that the frequency is what determines how strong the avera, the punishment should be. That's because of this concept, maybe, that maybe the punishment is a deterrent, not really a punitive or retribution type of measure against the person. And the Rambam, the Shittas Rambam, remains somewhat elusive, but seems to definitely be primarily here in Mor Nevuchim focused on the Meniyah, on the deterrent aspect of Onshin. Okay, it's Kedai, if you have time, to look at source number 8, 9, and 10, and understand the difference in defining Kedusha, especially by Ma'achal HaSasuros, between the Rambam and the Ramban. But we'll stop here.